Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast studio for our September podcast. This is Nicole, and I'm here with...
Kristen.
And Drew.
It's the same group.
The same people, you know. A different podcast studio, but the same people.
That's right.
Although we are sitting in our normal order today.
We are. We don't deviate much at all.
So we were just chatting about how incredibly fabulous it is that summer is almost over.
Well, that's everybody except me. Hold on. One third of us.
I have mixed
We were talking
feelings.
About it.
I have mixed feelings. I like summer, but I also love sweater and scarf weather.
Yes.
No.
Layers. No. As many layers as I can possibly put on makes me so happy. Yeah.
And I'm the complete opposite. Appropriately the complete opposite.
Modestly. I was on Instagram or Facebook or whatever the other day, and now I'm starting to see fall memes and fall things coming forward. I'm like, oh, pumpkin spice lattes.
It's really sad.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Dad and I were driving a couple days ago, and the corn's not out yet. So I'm like, man, hunting season's just around the corner. They got to get that corn out of the fields. Let's go. But it's got to stop raining for that.
No. No, I really like summer. That's all I have to say about that. I am not a fan of the pumpkin spice anything.
Me neither.
So Jimmy Kimmel on this last week was talking about that pumpkin spice lattes are out and in his monologue. And he was saying, well, in California, it's the only way you actually know it's fall because pumpkin spice lattes are out because the weather is the same as summer.
Yeah.
And I thought, huh, maybe I should move there.
Sad day. No, I'm going to try pumpkin spice puppy chow this year.
Oh, Lindsay, I think
I'm
Lindsay and Caitlin have made that.
I'm super excited.
That all sounds so
gross. That sounds so
It sounds
amazing.
So terrible. Puppy chow in itself is disgusting, and then to make it like
I make my
spice.
Oatmeal cookies with pumpkin pie spice.
Oh, that would be good.
Oh, it's like
okay.
I like pumpkin cheesecake.
I do have to say, I like that too. The one thing I do like about, I don't even want to say like.
Football.
Oh, no, that's not it at all. No. But I was quite happy about the Downton Abbey Marathon last weekend during the whole football world.
Oh, my gosh.
But I love baking. I love baking.
Yeah.
And I don't bake at all in the summer because
it's
so hot.
It's so hot.
So I actually
was... an accomplished baker, actually.
I am. I don't cook...
With her bread.
I don't cook one thing at all. Well, chicken. I make chicken. But I love to bake. I bake cookies. I bake breads. I bake a lot.
Wow.
So I am looking forward to... And I do make a very good pumpkin spice bread. So
ooh.
With like a yeah, and
with
a poppy seed.
Coffee. Oh, man. That's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Yes,
with a, like a pumpkin spice kind of a frosting on it. Oh, yeah. I make,
cream cheese frosting?
I can do cream cheese frosting, too. Yeah, it's quite fabulous.
No.
I'm really hungry right now.
Yeah.
As my Jimmy John's is sitting in my backpack calling my name.
I'm just thinking, man, I just canceled my gym membership. Maybe that was a really bad idea.
So maybe you all are as excited about us, them, as seasons are changing. One thing that's happened in our family, which I'm very excited about, Lindsay and Jeff, my daughter and son-in-law, just had another baby boy last week. So I now have two grands. I don't like to call myself a grandmother, nor do I call them grandchildren.
Why?
So I just call them grands.
What do you go
I like
by?
That. That seems very hipster.
Nana. It does seem hipster, doesn't it?
Nana.
I'm Nana. Yeah, Drew was with me. Remember,
we searched the internet.
Names
so that grandma's
names. We did. Because before Silas was born, their first child, I was really struggling with the idea of being, not the mother.
Okay.
I like being the mommy.
And so now you're like, send him home at the end of the day. Yeah. Fabulous. Yes. Yeah.
And now that I hear Silas call me Nana, I mean, Nana, it's just the greatest thing in the world. But yeah, Drew was with me in the beginning when we were.
It was great. We found all sorts of like foreign African names for grandma.
We did Swedish. We did all Dutch. We had all kinds of names.
And
I think Silas calls Greg, he calls him Papa. Baba. And I do think that is one of the names that as a joke.
Baba or Bobo. Said,
we had Bobo.
Baba and Bobo.
Bobo would have been awesome.
Baba.
Hobbit guy.
Yes. Bilbo. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about having a brand new baby Weston in our midst. And Lindsay went to her first mom's, like, a playgroup this morning. The baby's a week old. And she took him to the City Light Moms group.
She's like, I've got to get out of the house.
She called me and said it was so awesome. I just needed to get out of the house.
And then other transition, Drew.
Yes.
You moved.
I have moved into a new apartment. So it's actually very close to the podcast studio.
Yes, it is.
Within walking distance. Of the House of Prayer, so it's been nice to just put my car in the garage and...
Leave it.
Leave it.
Walk, with gas right
walk
now.
Walk to work.
Gas prices.
Gas has gone up, yes.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's awesome.
So, yeah, and...
And your balcony is like three times the size.
Yes.
So look up.
Just
ready.
Wait next year, podcasters, for the pictures of my new and improved, expanded... garden balcony.
You could like maybe just feed the whole apartment complex.
Well, I'm thinking about it because you know there's a lot of neighborhood kids. They have started asking me a couple of days ago. They came up and asked if they could have 75 cents for a pop, just randomly. Never met them before.
Oh yes,
like no, but you can have an eggplant.
And I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Yes,
no,
there you go.
But pop is not good for you, so let's get you some carrots and eggplant and lettuce. Let me make you a nice salad.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the new and improved gardening.
As am I.
Balcony expedition.
Yes. The whole House of Prayer. I'm going to have enough food to feed our community.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
I love that.
See, this is one of the great things. We have to get through winter.
Yes.
The horridness of winter. And then,
then spring comes.
Get
onto
the beauty.
So does my balcony.
That's right.
So get ready, podcasters. You might want to move closer so that you can join in.
Funny. Well, this month we are going to be working through the idea of prayer and intimacy. Intimacy with the Lord and how we can develop our prayer life within that context of intimacy with Jesus. So stay tuned and we will launch in.
I just want to start with what I find so interesting. The first thing that Jesus teaches us, or his disciples, concerning prayer was this place of where we pray before he even taught like the how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus shares with us the importance of this kind of being found in that place of intimacy. And look at, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read out of Matthew 6, verse 6, and it's Jesus talking, and he says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who is in secret will reward you openly." So one of the things that we see as we're talking about, you know, we're just going to be chatting about this place of intimacy and prayer, is that Jesus tells us, what we need to do is shut the door. And to find this, like this place that's going to be like no distraction, you're going into your room and shutting the door. That's the secret to developing this kind of intimate prayer life. That your Father, our Father who loves us so, is already in that place waiting for us. And the moment that we get into that place of prayer, that secret place, the room, whatever we want to call it, we're in the presence of God. And I feel like that's just something we have to almost position our hearts to know, or tell our souls that no matter what we're feeling, when we enter that place, we have to know with certainty that we've stepped into this hidden chamber with the Lord. And even Jesus models this for us. You know, Jesus is always, it says, Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Jesus got away while it was still dark. You know, Jesus knew this key of receiving from his Father, and he met him in this place of intimacy. He met him in secret, really, that shutting the door. and for the purpose of hearing from heaven. And really, I feel like Jesus is really showing us how to put aside distraction to tune his ear to hear the voice, you know, that he longed to hear from. And so that, and that place of intimacy, it makes me think about whenever we want to spend time with somebody, mm-hmm. we do it where we shut the door, where we get alone. And of course, you know, when you think about a husband and wife, that real place of that vulnerability, that oneness happens in the secret place, mm-hmm. in the hidden chamber, where it's that one-on-one. So what does it look like, you know, to shut the door? So what I'd like us to just kind of discuss is, how do we each shut the door mm-hmm. to those distractions, to busyness, to like all the demands that we have? Like, why is that important? What does that look like for each of us? And I feel like it really shows even how the Father is waiting. It shows such a desire of our Father that he longs to meet with us. Like, that to me just does something in my heart and my spirit that, I, you know, you can just hardly take that in, you know. So, Drew, what does it look like for you? Like, what does it look like to shut the door?
You know, it's looked different ways over the years, and it changes kind of from season to season. But being a musician, one of the best ways I connect with the Lord, not the only way, but one of the best ways for me is to play and sing.
That's good.
And so when I play, you know, if I'm playing piano, and my piano's here at the House of Prayer now, so it's a little different, but playing, you know, you can't have anything else on. My phone can't be playing music. My TV can't be on. Like, everything has to be shut off. And otherwise, I can't even hear myself playing. And so
that's good.
You kind of shut everything else. And when I'm playing, I'm not playing, a lot of times when I'm just before the Lord, it's not like I'm playing a normal song. I'll just kind of sing from my heart. And whatever I'm feeling and the yuckiness I'll sing about or the greatness or whatever mm-hmm. is going on that day. And I don't want anyone to hear that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I don't want anyone in the room. I don't want anyone to hear that. And so there's no one around. And I live alone, so you know that's usually pretty easy to mm-hmm. get time alone. But I'm by myself, and I'm before the Lord, and all of
that's
the
good.
Terribleness, all of the greatness, all of the mixed bag of emotions mm-hmm. comes out. But it has to be intentional. I can't have any. It's one of the few things where, you know, a lot of times I'm good at doing two things at once. I mean, really, I'm not. But a lot of humans like to, and I'm one of them, who like to think that we're good at doing more than one thing at once. And we're not.
We're not.
But, you know, but this is something that I can't do more than one thing at once. Mm-hmm. I can't be like, you know, seeking the Lord in the secret place and, you know, doing work or reading a book or watching TV. It just doesn't work that way. And yeah. not like you can't connect with the Lord in other activities. But when you're in the secret place, the shut door time, it really is. You have to shut everything out. And it's looked different ways. I've done it in different places. I've gone outside and done it, or on my balcony, mm-hmm. in my garden. Or I've done it in the car mm-hmm. in different ways. But
I really like what you're sharing, because being a musician, it's a whole different mm-hmm. expression yeah. of just even connecting with the Lord in that place of intimacy, in that hidden chamber where you have that outlet of just mm-hmm. pouring out your heart in song, pouring out your heart in keys mm-hmm. and receiving from the Lord in that same, with that same kind of dynamic. Mm-hmm. And how many songs, like when we think about IHOP, Bethel
yeah.
music, are born mm-hmm. out of that place yeah. of intimacy
certainly,
with the Lord.
I mean, most of the ones I've written have yeah. come from that place, if they haven't come from a set that I've done. But I think, yeah, just being before the Lord in that place, I think there's such a different aspect of his presence in that place than there is in a corporate space.
Yeah.
Or there is in another activity that I'm doing with the Lord
right.
or whatever. There's just a difference. And even how you were saying, you know, in a normal relationship, if I'm disclosing something personal and intimate and, like, the secrets of my heart that no one else knows, the door is shut.
Yeah.
And there's no one else in the room. And right. if there is, I'm not going to open right. my heart up. Not in the same way. And that's so good. I think it's the same way with the Lord. Like, he hears some of my most intimate stuff, but then I also hear mm-hmm. some of his most intimate mm-hmm. stuff that he wouldn't share if I didn't give him that time.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Nicole, what about you? What would you say? What is that secret time or that yeah. intimate place? I love the hidden chamber. That I like that.
It has looked so different for me in different seasons. I know right now it's just the practicality of getting alone. I just currently am living with a family that has 4 small boys, and so I'm never really alone ever. So I know yesterday I hadn't had a lot of that quiet time. I hadn't mm-hmm. had a lot of that secret place time with the Lord in the last couple weeks just because of busyness and
yeah.
trying to get into that routine. I think that can be a huge hindrance.
Yes.
When you feel like you can't get into the routine, you can't get it down, and then it's just like, oh, it's just too much of a hassle. So I went out on the deck yesterday
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, come on.
Allergies and all, suffering and all. I just sat out on the balcony before the sun got really hot. And, you know, the boys didn't come out and bother me or anything. And it was probably the sweetest time I'd had with the Lord in a long time. Because there was something different about it. Because my love language is quality time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
me
I
too.
Had noticed. It was like yesterday I realized, oh my goodness, I haven't had this one-on-one quality time with the Lord in a couple days. Because of just I let myself get lax with the busyness of life. And so I think that for me, the shutting the door actually has to be very practical. Like, mm-hmm. it has to be very intentional of going to my room and shutting the door and putting the stop sign on the door that says,
yeah.
don't come in. Or go out in the morning.
<That's awesome.
laughs> it does. There's literally a stop sign on my door. Or going out on the back, you know, the deck or whatever that looks like for me. But I think, Drew, what you were saying, I have a similar thing of I have to have like a, not so much to journal, but I have to have something I can write down all my distractions
yes.
on. Because I am constantly, I am horrible at silence. Mm-hmm. I'm horrible at quiet. Mm-hmm. I don't even sleep in quiet. I have 3 fans going. I sleep in a loud environment. And so all of this is hard for me.
Yeah.
Just my natural tendency is noise and distraction and busyness. And so to just be very intentional about shutting off my phone, mm-hmm. getting rid yeah. of Instagram, leaving my phone in my room, being out on the deck, or writing down when random things pop into my head or when really cool creative ideas come in,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, I have a journal to kind of write that down. And so I think for me it's not always necessarily a place. It's more of a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the secret place
for me, I have to have the mindset of I'm not going to be distracted and I'm going to spend quality time with the Lord right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be intentional about quality mm-hmm. time. I may not have a lot. The quantity may be small,
yeah.
but the quality has got to be there.
Yeah. I like, and both of you said the word that I think about all the time is you have to be intentional. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is such an intentionality because just as with anything, if we are not intentional about that place of just getting alone with the Lord and shutting the door to everything, it's not going to happen
mm-hmm.
because there are so many demands for our time, demands for energy, demands for conversation,
mm-hmm.
demands for, you know, thinking.
Email.
Right, exactly. That it will be, that time will be stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I look at it because it is, to me, when I don't get it, I feel like it's been stolen by
yeah.
the enemy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been stolen by my own selfishness
mm-hmm.
or, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And in the next, our part 2 of this podcast also, as you're listening, we will be talking about more practicals. We're going to be sharing really more of the how-tos that we can really walk, how to help you walk it out if you're not in a pattern or a
mm-hmm.
habit of really stepping into this place of intimacy with
mm-hmm.
the Lord. All right, so stay tuned and We're going to have a review by Drew, everybody's favorite part of the podcast. And then we'll be back and we're going to just share a little more on what this looks like and what God's heart is, because he's waiting in that place of to be with us, so we know it's his heart, it's his desire. So stay tuned.
All right, welcome back to everyone's favorite segment, Reviews by Drew. I am your host, Drew. And of course, you know, we had to take a month off last month, and we didn't have a review, but we're back this month, so never fear. And this month, I have a good book for us to review. It's called The Cure, and it's written by John Lynch, Bruce McNichol, and Bill Thrall. And it's a book that one of my friends had given me over the summer, and she said, oh, I think you'll really like it. It's on grace. And I'm like, well, you know, with all the discussion on grace that's going around in the body of Christ, on hyper grace, and I'm like, this is bound to be terrible, and I've got enough books to read. But she said, go, just read it, and we'll talk about it. And so I read it, and it was really eye-opening. I wasn't expecting it, and the little subtitle is, What If God Isn't Who You Think He Is and Neither Are You? And it kind of goes on this journey. It's kind of an allegorical journey, but then it also has a little discussion in it, and on this man's journey of whether he is going to choose the path to please God or to trust God. And of course, he chooses the path to please God, and he ends up in the room of good intentions. And in that room, you have to strive hard to be all that God wants you to be, and there's self-effort, and you have to work on your sin to achieve intimacy with God. And he eventually, you know, he puts on a mask when he enters the room, and he realized, one of the quotes that I loved is, no one told me that when I wear a mask, only my mask receives love. And so it kind of goes through his journey of leaving the room of good intentions and getting to the room of grace and standing with God, his sin right in front of us, working on it together with the Lord, and kind of seeing what that there's nothing, that phrase, that nothing separates us from the love of God. And it's not like we want to leave sin in our life and say that it's all okay, but the Lord's with us working through it, not, you know, on the other side, after we work through all of it ourselves, then the Lord will be there waiting for us, like, okay, finally, you know, you can be with me now. The Lord's with us through the whole thing. And so it's really good. There's a lot of good quotes that I really loved. And I'll read one of the quotes that I really enjoyed. God never tells us to get over something and just get past us. Never. Instead, he asks me to trust him with every circumstance. That involves communicating with him honestly, in detail, until I'm sure I've left nothing out. He wants to hear it all. He wants to enter into every tear, every detail. He's been waiting for this moment. He's watched me go it alone. Now he will sit, elbows on knees, hands and chin, listening to every single word. I must sigh, cry, shriek, or howl until he's certain I'm done, that I've gotten it all out. And then it goes on a little bit farther and to say it's less important that anything gets fixed, but that nothing is hidden. And so it really caused me to kind of evaluate a lot of things that I believed over the years of my life, and challenge some of the status quo of how I've looked at the Lord and how I've looked at myself and my own sin and the Lord's grace. And so I would really encourage you to read it and just dialogue with the Lord as you're going through it, and get on the journey. So it's called The Cure, by John Lynch, Bruce McNichol, and Bill Thrall. And of course, we'll put it on our website as well.
All right, we're back for the kind of the second part here on today's podcast. And what we're going to do is we're just going to take a few minutes and look at how God has just desired intimacy with man from the beginning. And we're just going to take a few examples from Scripture. This isn't like fresh revelation that, oh, right now God wants to meet with us. He's longed to dwell with mankind, and it's his ultimate desire to be with us. So we're just going to walk through several different examples that we're just going to share with you, and then we will wrap up today.
Well, I think that we all are pretty clear with Adam and Eve. Even me, who did not grow up in church, I had I had heard about Adam and Eve. And so, but just the reality of how in the very beginning, mm-hmm. God loved Adam and that relationship that he had with Adam. And just he longed for him not to be alone. God yes. longed for Adam to not be on earth by himself. You know, so he created Eve. And just the reality of it began with a mm-hmm. wedding and it's going to end with yep. a wedding. And just that is the most intimate thing, mm-hmm. you know, for a single person. I understand, like, that that entering into that relationship is the most intimate place you can be, heart-to-heart connection, yeah. and just understanding the depth of one another. And just to know that God had that with Adam,
yeah.
and he had that with Eve, and Adam and Eve had that together in the garden, yeah. and just how they walked with him. They heard that still, small voice because yeah. they were so attuned to the voice of God. You know, as we were talking about getting rid of the distractions.
Yeah, right.
You know, they didn't have distractions. They were just walking with him in the cool of the day and listening to him. And I just imagine they could hear him in the wind and the whistling yeah. of the trees and in the wheat as it's blowing by. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking how attuned they would have been mm-hmm. to all of God's creation. And just what an intimate place that is to
yes.
know the heart of God in such a way of each aspect of who he is.
Yeah.
God is such a creative God, and he lavishes his intimacy on us in different ways. And I'm just like,
yeah.
wow, Adam
so,
and
yeah.
Eve had such a depth that I'm like, oh, I want that.
Yeah.
I want that.
And can you imagine, like, they had no sin. Like, sin
no.
had not entered the picture yet. So, like, there's no sickness. There's no bills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no stress.
Yeah.
There's no anxiety. There's, like,
yeah.
we can't even imagine on this side of eternity mm-hmm. what kind of intimacy mm-mm. they experience with God.
Yeah.
Because there's not one of us that doesn't have that
the
clouded, the veil, right.
Yeah,
they,
exactly.
yeah, they had no veil.
They had no veil.
Totally vulnerable.
And just the reality of how devastated
oh.
Adam and Eve
yeah.
had to have been once they made the decision to sin, and how then the veil came down.
Yeah.
And just how that intimacy was broken, and yet God longed for it to
yeah.
be restored. And he never stopped until
yeah.
it was. And I just, that means,
yeah.
yeah.
And it's so cool, like, even when you see in Genesis 3 when God's giving the, you know, the curses
yeah.
over Adam and Eve, and then to the, like, to the snake, to Satan,
mm-hmm.
and to just already be talking about the Savior
yeah.
who's coming. Like,
yeah.
the longing of intimacy, the longing for relationship that God desires with us, he'd already made a way, you know? Already made a way.
Mm-hmm.
So then the one I want to talk about, because it's like my favorite, is Moses' tabernacle. And I just love how even when God chooses the nation of Israel from the
mm-hmm.
smallest,
mm-hmm.
and he calls them into his desire is that they would then be his treasured possession.
Mm-hmm.
And Exodus 19, 5 and 6, he talks about as he's pulling them out of when he pulled them out of Egypt, and his desire is that he would dwell among them. And then he talks about, you know, all of the, you know, so many of the chapters in the book of Exodus from Exodus 25 on talk about the building of the tabernacle and his desire to literally dwell with them. I think it's Exodus 25 or 25:8 that says, you know, he gives Moses the pattern and says, just,
mm-hmm.
I want them to build a sanctuary for me and I will come and dwell with them. Like, we see the desire of God to be with man. It's,
mm-hmm.
And so he now institutes a way, a pattern for that to happen, to pull those whom he loves and desires into his heart again and to speak his life into them and
mm-hmm.
his law into them, and not in a brutal way, but
mm-hmm.
just to have relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he creates the tabernacle as the intimate. It's another intimate hidden chamber with
mm-hmm.
God. So
friendship,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He longs for friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of my favorites and related to Moses and Israel is King David. And what I love about King David is his whole life was based on that secret place with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a little boy, as a little shepherd, sitting in the fields with the sheep, is, you know, singing with his little five-stringed harp.
Yeah.
And five notes is all he could play. He didn't have an 88 keys like I have. He had five, and he would just pour his heart out before the Lord. And even in some of the Psalms, it talks about, you know, David, when he was a little boy, and he would stumble upon the presence of the Lord, you know, and he would see the ark, that because the ark it wasn't in the tabernacle at that point in David's life, and so he stumbled upon it in the fields, and he tapped into the Lord's ultimate desire, and in a season where very few, if any, other people in Israel had tapped into that, the desire of the Lord. And then he, you know, had, in addition to Moses' tabernacle, was still in Gibeon, he set up his tabernacle, David's tabernacle, his tent in Jerusalem, and brought the ark into the tabernacle, and kind of not improved upon the pattern, but he kind of allowed for some exceptions that Moses' tabernacle didn't. And he had songs, singers, and musicians, and anyone was allowed, anyone who wanted. It wasn't just the people of Israel. It wasn't just the high priest. It was anyone who wanted to be before the Lord, and they could be before him day and night. And so I just think, you know, David saw something in the Lord's heart that no one else was seeing, that no one else had probably even seen since Moses' day in the entirety, and since Adam and Eve's day when it was actually experienced. And David said, no, it's not just for the priests. It's not just for the few, the chosen. It's for anyone who wants to, because the Lord is wanting that for them. And of course, there's a system that the Lord had put in place to atone for sin, but there's more than just atoning for sin.
Amen.
The Lord's not looking just for you to be, you know, you were a sinner and now you're okay because you made a sacrifice. The Lord's looking for intimacy. And David saw that. And so I just love, and David was able to be in, you know, the secret place with the Lord. Even in front of other people, I think. And I think of when David brought the tabernacle and he danced and he praised the Lord wildly. He didn't care if other people around. I kind of see, like, he didn't necessarily shut the door of other people, but he kind of shut them out of his mind and out of that moment
right
with the Lord.
I
even think of, you know, moms today who they might not get to shut the door, but they might get to shut their minds from all the other distractions and just have a few minutes with the Lord. And David was able to do that, and I just think that's fascinating.
I'm going to jump off of what you said, too, because I feel like one of the things that I have seen and witnessed over the years of being a Christian, just even thinking about the pattern of the tabernacle, is that when you look at the way Moses' tabernacle was set up, where the outer court had the bronze basin where the sacrifice was made, the sacrifice for sin, then it had the wash basin where the priest would wash before they could enter the holy place. And the holy place was where they tarried before the Lord. It's where the candlestick was. It's where the altar of showbread and where the altar of incense was. And they literally, it's going into that inner chamber. And they were really separate and alone with God and made intercession and the incense and all of that. And what I've observed over the years is so many Christians get stuck in the outer court. Oh, forgive me for my sin. Oh, let the word wash me. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Oh, how can you handle a sinner like me? And I hear so many pastors and leaders talk about us sinners. And we have been redeemed. And the desire of God's heart is that we wouldn't just come into the outer court and stay there, that we would move into the inner court and tarry before him and let him wash over us and let his love speak to us and listen to what he has to say to us in that place of intimacy. You're my delight. Oh, how I love you. I mean, there's so much more than, oh, God, please forgive me for my sin.
David got that.
And David got it.
David got it. I mean, come on. He was, he messed up.
Yeah.
He had some junk But he never stayed there.
Yes, right.
He didn't stay washing himself in the wash basin. He's like, okay, I'm washed. Let's go.
Right, I'm forgiven.
Let's move on. I'm going to get before you.
Yeah.
I want to know your heart. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you say about your, about what he says about God and what he says about me.
Yes, yes.
And, yeah, and that's the intimacy part. That is intimacy. It's knowing that, yeah, we mess up. We got junk. Yes, and we have to deal with it.
Yes, right on.
The grace is grace to repent and to move.
Yeah.
Not to stay in our sin, but then just that love and intimacy, that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance.
Yes, right on, right on. And to know that the Lord delights in the process.
Yeah.
He loves us in the journey. So mm-hmm. when we run to him, not hiding like Adam and Eve did.
Yeah.
When we run to him like David did, and we just say, I want to know who you are. Mm-hmm. I want to know you rightly, and I want to know who I am in your purpose. Who mm-hmm. is letting him speak to our identity? That's what we get when we move into that secret place. And I feel like Jesus, as he modeled that, he got away. He got alone. Mm-hmm. Okay, God, who am I? You speak to my identity. I am your son. I will do what you tell me to do. I'll say what you tell me to say. Like, that's available to all of us because of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
that's awesome. We're going to talk more about this on part two of this podcast this month. And we'll talk about more practicals and really give you just maybe some helps in how to go after this place of intimacy in prayer. So stay tuned. We have a little commercial before we close.
All right. Well, we wanted to make you aware of a very exciting event happening at the House of Prayer. So at the end of September, on Friday, September 23rd, and Saturday, September 24th, we are having our open house to showcase our new building.
That's the crowd.
Yes, the applause. That's, and we know that you're applauding as well at home. So we're having our open house to show our building and give tours and kind of let everyone see what the Lord has done, as kind of we shared in our last podcast, as well as we're going to have our prayer room open, and we're going to have some live prayer meetings and have some teams going on in the prayer room, so you can experience that and experience a little bit of what life is like in the House of Prayer, and hear about what the Lord is doing, and kind of the vision for day and night prayer in our city, in our region, that the Lord is so miraculously building. So we want you to be a part of that. Come and join us Friday, September 23rd from 5 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, September 24th, 4 to 8 p.m. You can come one day, both days, stay for 10 minutes, stay for 4 hours or more. You just, up to you. But we want to see you there and bring a couple friends, and we are looking forward to seeing you. So that has been our podcast for Prayer and Intimacy. Stay tuned with us later this month for part two as we explain a little bit more on how we are intimate with the Lord and what that looks like.